That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Here we go. Coming to you live from the Ray Horseman Studio in North Hollywood, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Tonight, houseplants. Why do they always die? You bring home an African orchid, a fiddle-leaf fig, a spider plant, they all perish, making your living room a wasteland of desiccation and death. Will your Chinese money plant survive? Don't bet on it. Will your prayer plant rise up? Not a prayer. Will your Madagascar crown of thorns bloom? More likely, it will become the cross you bear. Houseplants, must they all go gentle into that good night? Danae Hurst, author of Houseplants for All, How to Fill Any Home with Happy Plants, is here to color our thumbs green. I'm Adam Felber, the man who every week tries to prune our conversational flowers so they grow along the same topical branch. And now, please welcome the woman who grafts a topical lily onto the stem of a conversational yucca and never looks back. It's Paula Poundstone.
Yay!
Oh, yeah. Welcome, Paula, and a big welcome back to tonight's house band, percussionist Omar Leyva. Paula.
Fantastic, Omar.
Yeah,
thank you.
Absolutely fantastic.
Hey, how are you?
We're missing a familiar face tonight.
I know, it's weird.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah.
Our producer, Tony Anita Hull.
She's not here.
She's off on a cruise ship.
No, did you see the picture she posted?
No.
Yeah, she's on an iceberg. She's...
An iceberg?
Yeah, apparently the ship hit... she's like...
They hit an iceberg, but the iceberg didn't sink?
No, the iceberg didn't sink. No,
wow.
She's clinging
they
to the top.
They should probably build those cruise ships on icebergs then.
Yeah, she's clinging to the top of the iceberg.
Things are falling apart here already.
It's not easy. And you know what really sucks?
What?
Here's what really sucks. Tom Hanks was supposed to be here tonight.
Oh, was he?
And I just left him. He's pricing juicers over at Roger Federer's appliance store.
This is a big mess of not true here.
No, this is absolutely true.
Uh-huh.
And as you know, he won't come on the show unless we meet several criteria, one of which is Tony Anita Hull wearing her Greek peplos.
Which she does frequently.
And I assumed that she was going to be here tonight. Thank
right.
you for wearing your Argyle sweater vest.
You're welcome.
And now, is her peplos here somewhere? Could I...
You could probably, she has a peplos closet here at Ray Horseman Studios.
I could try to put it on. I don't know if we're going to be able to fool Tom Hanks.
You could try that.
He's, he's a world famous actor. He's certainly been to Greece. He knows his way around a peplos.
Oh, I don't like the way you phrase that, but yes.
These petty fours are going to go to waste. That was one of the things Tom Hanks insisted on.
I don't know that these are Tom Hanks' demands or your version of them.
No, these are Tom Hanks' demands. And every time, I got the petty fours, and then he said, no, Adam has to wear the Argyle sweater vest.
Yeah.
And then we got the Argyle sweater vest.
I'm
going to
be honest with you. I feel like you're just fucking with the rest of us and making me wear the sweater vest and Tony wear the peplos.
Tom Hanks has promised that he will come. He's across the street. I spoke with him. Tonight.
Okay. The only person I saw across the street at what you call Roger Federer's appliance store, which is in fact Federer's discount damaged appliance store here on Miranda Street.
No, you're thinking of the other one.
No, I'm thinking of the one that's right over there.
No, that's on the other end of the street. They're copycats.
No, they're not.
Yeah, Roger Federer is suing the shit out of that guy.
He's really not.
Yeah.
But back in the real world, we're going to have to run this show just you and me and, God help us, Captain Crinkle over there. Bonnie Burns.
Yeah,
Tony.
That's not going to go well.
What the hell was that?
Captain Crinkle's in the house.
Yes.
Yeah, one of the things Tony was really good at was kind of
keeping the lid on Captain Crinkle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm sorry she's not here.
Yeah, she
by the way, we are continuing our 100th caller contest.
No, we're not.
Tonight.
That ended.
Our 100th caller, we're nowhere near finished. Our 100th caller wins any appliance from Roger Federer's appliance store and a chance to hang out after the game with Adam Felber.
Right, which I'm withdrawing that because I never wanted that to happen.
No,
you just sprung that on me.
I didn't just bring it on you. It's great. It's fantastic.
I never agreed to that.
And people have been calling in And they're so excited about it. So thank you, Adam. Now, Adam, answer the phone.
Think we can just not. Okay.
Answer the phone, Adam.
Hello?
Adam?
Yes?
I knew it. Adam Felber?
Oh, it's Anna Ivy or whatever the hell you are.
Cher Eva.
Yeah.
I'm not the 100th caller, am I?
No, you're not, Cher.
I knew it.
You're caller number 27, to my knowledge.
Yes, I knew that.
Okay.
Adam?
Yes?
As you know, I have the gift.
Of what?
I see things.
So you have the gift of sight.
I see the...
Because I also have the gift of sight. I can see things.
I see the future.
Oh.
And I am a pet psychic as well as a regular psychic. Yeah.
I like that you bring your own backstory with you, Cher, so that I don't have to recap.
Adam, your dog wants a different kind of food.
What?
Your dog.
My dog?
Yeah.
My dog, whose name
is your dog. Your dog.
Come on. I actually told you my dog's name 2 weeks ago.
Your little dog.
Little dog.
Little
yeah.
Dog.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's not
dog.
Her name. That's not her name, Cher. Yeah, come on. Use those psychic powers and tell me my dog's name.
Your little dog, Luna. I remember.
That's right.
Luna.
Yes.
I didn't remember. I know. I knew
you didn't
it.
Remember.
I
you
knew
know.
It.
Okay.
I knew it.
Okay.
And she wants cat food.
She wants cat food.
Yes.
Are you sure about this?
Yes.
Because she has the opportunity to grab cat food because we do, in fact, have a cat as well.
Yes.
And she doesn't eat the cat food.
Yes, I knew that. I knew it.
Okay.
I knew it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's my cat's name?
Your cat?
Yes.
Is a...
cat.
Four-legged cat.
Yeah, four-legged cat.
You have a four-legged cat.
Yes.
I knew it.
That's a pretty high percentage answer there.
I knew it.
Uh-huh.
I knew it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And
its name is? His name is Shirley?
No.
Well, you call me back when you get that name, okay, Cher Eva?
Well, listen, Adam, I'm going to call back after I check in with your cat.
Oh, okay, and see if you can find out her name from her, would you, Cher?
Yeah, certainly. Yes, it was good talking with you.
It was interesting talking with you as well.
Yeah.
Less emotionally fraught than many of our callers. Now, Paula, last week you talked about failing your midterm.
I did. I failed my
midterm.
For
your black belt in Taekwondo?
Yeah, from my black belt. Well, it was really from my mid-black belt. It's a mid-black belt.
What does that mean?
You don't just go from a red belt to a black belt. There's a lot of testing in the middle.
Okay.
It's like $80 a shot.
It feels like a scam.
Maybe.
Okay.
But I did do
you
the testing.
You flunked your midterm
again.
Because they ask you to do it. The exercises backwards.
They asked me to do the forms in the reverse order. Of like originally it was like I don't know white belt yellow belt orange belt whatever it was right all
and
the
you'd
way up
memorize
to red belt.
All the forms up through there
right and this time they said do red belt then brown belt then blue belt I was fucked after red belt
which really makes me worry about you on the streets at night
yeah
because there's few muggers and assaulters of other kind that will actually walk through the forms
yeah they have
from
to come in the right
up.
Order
yeah.
Or I can't do anything. So I did the, and you have to do a fitness test. But he has this big chart up, my teacher does. He has this big chart up with...
how close he is to the down payment on his condo?
No, they have... No, he's got that. just from me. They have different criteria for passing according to your age.
Okay.
Now, let me just say that I passed the fitness test that was for, like, the young people.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
And when you say young people, you mean how old?
Like I don't know.
Five?
No, but like, you know, I don't know, 20s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so like
that.
You are
but
as fit as a young 60-year-olds,
person. But the 60-year-olds, I passed that like way, way beyond. Here's just one example. I planked for 2 minutes and 35 seconds. I can plank longer than that, but I was called upon to plank for 2 minutes
That's
and
a lot of planking.
That is a lot of planking. Whereas the 60-year-olds,
right.
You can smoke a cigarette for 2.5 minutes and you're
and that
in.
Counts.
And you passed.
Okay.
Yeah. So, so I was very proud of myself.
So you did a fitness test, and then did you retake the midterm?
Yeah.
How'd you do?
Great. This time we did it forward.
Oh, so if you were to take it the way that you took it a couple weeks ago, you'd fail again.
Adam, answer the phone.
What?
Answer the phone.
I'm not sure I want to, but okay.
Yeah, go ahead, answer the phone.
All right. Hello?
Am I the 100th caller?
Oh, no, you're not. You're caller number 28. Who is this?
To whom am I speaking?
What do you mean, who are you speaking? You called my podcast. You don't know me?
I'm called the 100th caller contest.
Right, I'm Adam Felber. I'm the co-host of Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
Well, it is so nice to meet you. I'm Gladys Pilgrim, President Trump's next Supreme Court appointment.
Oh, well, welcome, Gladys.
Thank you so much for having me. Am I the 100th caller?
You are not. As I said, you're the 28th. I said that already.
That's very unfair.
It's not unfair. It's very unfair. No, it's not unfair. It's how
That's
it works.
That's the kind of thing that when I'm in the Supreme Court, we will not have.
Now, Gladys, tell me something. Are you currently a judge?
Adam, I am currently unemployed, but President Trump is keeping his promise to bring jobs. And thanks to President Trump and the good Lord, I will be a Supreme Court person.
Are you sure about this?
Yes.
How do you know?
Because what the good Lord can't see to, the Republicans will enforce.
Okay. But aren't there a lot of other unemployed people who might get that Supreme Court seat before you, Gladys?
The Lord would like me to have it.
Are you sure?
The Lord and President Trump. I am, have you seen the picture of, in the Oval Office?
Uh-huh.
Where the people put their hands on him and pray?
Yes, that's
I'm
deeply
his
creepy.
Elbow.
You're there.
I'm there. I pray for his elbow.
You prayed for his elbow? Oh, were you praying for specific body parts?
That's how we do it. We divvy up the body parts.
Okay, but most of you were just praying for his shoulders and his arms, it looked like.
Yeah.
Nobody was praying for his heart.
Paula White prayed for his penis, but I will not do that.
Paula White?
Uh-huh.
Is she a friend of yours?
He's his spiritual advisor.
Oh, okay. Oh, right. Okay. She prayed for his penis?
Yeah, that's the body part that she chose.
How do you know this?
The Lord.
Okay. Now, when you say the Lord, are you talking about a direct line of communication
that
with the
correct.
Almighty?
That is correct, which is another reason why I'm a perfect choice for Supreme Court.
I'm just not
person.
Quite sure. I'm not quite sure that you are.
Yes, because we want to bring fairness.
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 Right.
And
what will you do
as
Supreme Court justice?
I will bring fairness.
Okay.
When the cases come before me,
right.
I will bring fairness through the Lord.
Okay, so like when it's a big antitrust case, let's say that the big
antitrust.
Antitrust, like
uh-huh.
the big
where someone just stops trusting?
No, it's a legal term meaning that somebody is unfairly exercising monopoly power for
Well,
instance.
That is not right. When someone unfairly
exercises monopoly power.
Exercises. So that means they were the thimble?
The thimble?
That's not in the game anymore.
No. This has nothing to do with the game Monopoly.
Oh.
Or only tangentially to do with the game Monopoly. I'm feeling like we might be reaching the end of this call, don't you?
Well, I will call back.
You don't have to call back
because you are Adam Felber?
I am.
I would so much like to hang out with you after the game.
I really don't want that to happen. But thank you
well,
for calling.
Well, when I'm a Supreme Court person,
yes.
I will be able to decide.
If I hang out with you after the game?
Yes.
I don't think that's how the Supreme
Me
Court works.
Me, the Lord, and Donald Trump.
Wow. Well, thanks for calling.
It was so nice talking with you, Adam Felber.
Yes, it was nice talking with you as well. Can we hang up now? You see, here's a problem I have. Letty, is it?
Gladys.
Here's a problem I have.
Gladys Pilgrim.
As there's no physical phone here, I never know how to end these conversations. I would love to have just one of those things where I could just hang up on you, you know, Gladys?
Hmm.
But I don't have one. So I don't actually know how to stop you from talking.
Use your handset, Adam.
Yeah, well, we don't have one here. I'm questioning whether you're actually on the phone at all.
Of course I am on the phone. What do you mean?
I can't hang out.
I'm speaking to you directly through the phone, just the way the Lord speaks directly to me.
All right, this is upsetting on so many levels.
But
again, thanks for calling.
It's Gladys Pilgrim. It's very good talking to you. I'll call back.
Please don't. Okay, Paula. Vocabulary words.
Oh, my gosh. What was I doing? Yes, I have a word, Adam.
Oh, of course you do.
It's prandial.
Prandial?
Yes. It's an adjective that means of or relating to a meal.
Yes.
Here, I'll use it in a sentence. When I was growing up, our family's prandial conversations often turned to my hair.
Really?
Yeah.
What a sad dinner table.
Yeah, it kind of was, honestly.
That's too bad.
Good food, though.
Now, I've only heard the word prandial used in a conjunction with the word post. Postprandial, people talk about it.
Preprandial and postprandial.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are
postprandial
also,
walk.
Also uses. In fact, Captain Culpepper was a fine man, but our prandial conversation was cut short one night.
Oh, that's right. Oh, look, everyone. It's Mrs. Culpepper, our favorite denuded,
so
widowed hand
you,
puppet.
Adam Felber.
Good to see you, Mrs. Culpepper. What were you saying about prandial?
Well, one night, Captain Culpepper.
Your husband.
My beloved, our prandial conversation was cut short.
by a knock at the door, I'm guessing.
No, it was not a knock at the door. The captain took ill.
Oh, the captain took ill?
Yes.
Oh, and then you had to nurse him back to health.
I was unable to do so, Adam Filmer.
Oh, he had to nurse himself back to health.
No, he did not come back to health.
Oh, no.
No, he had was struck with tyrotoxism.
Oh, the poisoning from milk or cheese or other dairy
that
products.
That is correct. That
yes.
Is, it was a cheese that poisoned him with a tyrotoxism. It was
well,
a tragic
that's
event.
That's terrible, Mrs. Culpepper,
yeah,
but
really,
I don't want to. I don't want
to. Really made the postprandial conversation almost nil.
I'd imagine most of the postprandial conversation was with paramedics in this case.
That is correct.
Yeah, and they're terrible at small
yeah, I
talk.
I remember the word blue kept being used.
Blue?
Yeah, he turned blue.
He did turn blue.
He did, he turned
right
blue.
Right there at the
he
dinner stopped, table? Stopped. I thought it was at a retirement party.
No, it was not at a retirement party, was it?
Yeah, well, I seem to remember. Maybe it was just a song lyric.
Yeah, I don't think it was a retirement party.
He was just at dinner with you and you were having Gouda for dinner?
It was the Gouda the gun!
Oh, sorry, I jumped the gun there, Mrs. Culpepper.
How did you happen to know that, Adam Filmer?
Well, you have mentioned it on this show anywhere between 50 and 100 times.
Yes, well, it was a tragic event.
It does sound like it's really left its mark on you.
Yes, and it cut short our prandial conversation. I wanted the chance to use that in a sentence.
Well, you did, and that was really well done, Mrs. Culpepper. Now, tell
Thank
me, did his tongue bloat? I understand that sometimes happens.
His tongue did bloat.
Yeah.
Which was one of the things that I said in the postprandial conversation.
With the paramedics?
With no reply.
Oh, to him?
Yes.
Oh, dear Captain,
tell
me exactly what you said.
I said, Captain, is it me or is your tongue bloating?
And he didn't reply.
He said, oh. Tragic death.
That's deeply tragic.
Tragic death.
All right. Well, thank you, Mrs. Culpepper.
You know, Adam, as you know, memory is not my strong point.
No, it isn't.
In fact, I honestly forgot what my strong point is. So I've turned to my musical gifts to create a vocabulary song to help me keep these words in the top drawer of my brain.
But it doesn't seem to be working.
It does, Adam. It does.
Yeah, it does? Okay. Well,
yeah. It does. Here. Here.
Yeah.
Solecism.
Solecism.
Error in social behavior. Huh?
Yeah, but you had that one locked down before we started doing this vocabulary song.
Okay. What about inimical?
I don't know.
Antagonistic?
I know what that means.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're saying words at me, Paula Poundstone.
Yeah. I remember those words.
Okay.
Partly because I have them written down over here, but...
That's what I was going to say. You seem to read these lyrics as you sing this.
But, you know, yeah, I'm trying to make sure the words stick in my head. But the other thing is, Adam, we have listeners.
Right.
Yeah. And so the vocabulary song isn't just for me.
You know, if you're a listener out there and you want to just, like, do a quick and dirty recording of yourself into your phone singing Paula's song without looking at a lyric sheet... I would love to hear that.
Well, keep in mind, I don't want to make listeners feel like what they do isn't good enough. But remember, Cardi B is working on a vocabulary song.
Now, you have said that a couple of times.
Yeah, it's true.
You even sung a tiny snippet of one
last week, two weeks
ago.
I've forgotten it, but I did.
Yeah.
All right, here's what I got this week. This week's word is prandial. It's an adjective that means of or relating to a meal. I don't like the mashed potatoes with the peel. That can be a prandial conversation. Last week's word was myrmidon. It's a noun that means follower or subordinate of a powerful person, especially one who's willing to engage in dishonest activities. Who could that be? Beats me.
I am flabbergasted. That was a full-on triangle solo there.
It was. And let's never forget gallimafree. It's a noun that means confused jumble or medley of things.
Hodge like podge. This.
Hodgepodge, who's podge? wait a minute. Oh, no.
You're lost in your own memory song.
Adam doesn't think my song is replicable, but I do. Boy, that really sticks with you.
It really doesn't. Captain Crinkle loves it.
Captain Crinkle, very supportive.
Now, I want to point out something.
I'm so sorry Tony's not here right now. She's being keel-hauled on the Queen Mary.
Keel-hauled on the Queen Mary.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure she's relaxing on a
no,
Princess Cruise
No, you didn't
line.
See the picture up on... She posted it.
The one from the iceberg?
No, after that.
Wow, no, I didn't see that.
Yeah, keel-hauled on the Queen Mary.
Wow, what did she do to deserve that?
I don't know. Something in the bar.
I'm sure.
So she's so supportive of my vocabulary song.
She is. She likes your vocabulary song, but she can only remember the parts that don't involve actual vocabulary words.
No, one of the problems with you and my vocabulary song is you're a little inimical.
Am I? What does that mean?
It means antagonistic.
You looked it up. You looked it up.
No, nothing wrong with looking stuff up.
Yes, there is if you're trying to memorize something. No,
well, you got to start from somewhere.
Okay. I just want to say about the replicability of it.
Yeah. Replicable.
Yeah. Singing replicable three times doesn't make the song replicable.
You know what? I seem replicable.
Which does what?
Well, it's two different ways of singing the word, and that helps.
Well, that is absolutely true.
Uh-huh. It means can be repeated.
Yes, it certainly does. Coming up, philosopher Jean-Jacques Rousseau wrote, "Plant and your spouse plants with you. Weed and you weed alone." How about growing something that doesn't require weeding? Houseplants. But can you keep them alive? Danae Hurst, author of the upcoming book, Houseplants for All, How to Fill Any Home with Happy Plants, will tell us how to keep houseplants alive when we return to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Hey guys, it's Adam, and tonight is January 3rd, and I am picking Giannis Antetokounmpo to score less than 36 points and James Harden to score more than 16. Why? Because I like beards. Am I putting a lot of money on this? I am not, because I'm not really a gambler, but I am having a lot of fun with Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. They're the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, who I would lose to, you pick more or less than 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in, or in my case, not. So I don't bet a lot. With the basketball season here, you can now pick combo projections across football and basketball from the Specials League, a league created specifically for combo projections that include two or more players from different sports or leagues. For example, LeBron James and Travis Kelce had a 10.5 combo of 3 points made, plus receptions. Do I get that? Kind of a little bit. Prize Picks even offers a reboot policy so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For football and basketball, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and doesn't return in the second, that player is rebooted. So, it's like an insurance policy. Go to prizepicks.com/nobody and use code NOBODY for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/nobody and use code NOBODY for a first deposit match of up to $100. And then drop by and see how I did with the Greek Freak and Harden again on January 3rd. My hopes are not that high. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy.
On this day in unremarkable history, Mary said, "Jesus, Joseph, can't we just stop and ask directions? We're going to end up in a barn again."
All right, Paula, we're back. I understand. I'm just going to segue right into this. Your friend, Kevin Nealon, sent you a plant.
He gave me a plant. He gave me a orchid.
How's it doing?
It's dead.
How long did it live after he sent it to you?
Not all that long.
When you guys talk on the phone, do you lie about what happened to it?
No, but he doesn't call. I bumped into him at the airport. I pretended I had it in my bag. In truth, I put it in my bathroom because in any other room, the cats would knock it over or eat it. And slowly, the leaves fell off and the petals fell off, and it depressed me so much I didn't even want to use the bathroom anymore. Why would anyone do that to me? He seems like such a nice guy.
He does. I would say that orchids are notoriously difficult plants. I mean, I feel like
in what way?
Well, they're just complicated beasts.
They argue that sort of thing.
No, I just my understanding of orchids is that they're kind of difficult to take care of and grow.
Hmm.
that people devote their lives to searching out rare orchids and growing them and keeping them healthy. And
well, that's just a waste of goddamn time.
Well, I'm saying that, like, did you look up how to take care of an orchid before you stuck it on your toilet tank? And
no, it wasn't on my toilet tank. It was on the counter in my bathroom. No, I didn't look it up.
You didn't look up anything?
No.
Like, does it need direct sunlight?
Frankly, there weren't a lot of options.
What do you mean?
It's got to be in the bathroom. I don't have any place else to put it.
Okay.
Any other room, it'll get eaten or knocked over.
Kevin, if you're listening, don't send her more plants unless our next guest can help her.
I bet she can.
Yeah, we have someone here who can tell us how to keep the plants in our homes alive. Danae Hurst is the founder of the Los Angeles-based plant boutique and plant styling studio, Folia Collective. And her new book, House Plants for All, How to Fill Any Home with Happy Plants, comes out in April. Please welcome, a big welcome, to Danae Hurst. Welcome, Danae.
Thank you.
Well, let's start with Paula killing that orchid.
Wait, I just want to begin by saying, if you guys go to look for Danae's book in the store, her last name is pronounced Hurst, but it's spelled H-O-R-S-T. I don't want people to get confused by that. It's so important.
That's right, because there's several letters between O and U. We wouldn't want anybody who's,
Well, you might come across the book House Plants for All by Danae Hurst.
Right.
And think, well, this isn't it.
Right.
Yeah. So that's why I wanted to go over that with you.
That's
Thank you so much for
helpful,
joining us,
Paula.
Today.
Well, welcome today. We're going to let you talk pretty soon. Are you suggesting there's a book written by a different Danae Hurst that might be called House Plants for All?
Yeah, exactly. And that kind of confusion. This is a learning show, Adam.
Yeah, it sure is.
We don't want our listeners going away confused. Danae, how is it possible that I buy sometimes a beautiful, healthy houseplant from a store and within days it's on life support?
The main thing I see people doing wrong, or at least the challenge they're encountering when they're seeing their plants
die. I like how you changed to that.
Is you're not choosing the right plant for what you can give it. So
not choosing the right plant
for
what you're capable of providing.
There's kind of a matchmaking system that needs to be employed more often. So
do you ask a lot of questions when someone comes to your store?
I do. We spend a lot of time asking questions, helping people figure out not just what their space can provide the plant, but what they as a person can provide the plant, because there is a lifestyle factor with caring for plants.
So if you were the kind of person who had a house with 13 cats and only one location in the house where the cats don't go, and were somewhat forgetful and often out on the road on tour, what houseplant would you recommend for such a person?
Gee, who could this be referring to?
I know a guy. Anyway.
My first question actually would be, beyond knowing that you're not there often, the cats, would be how much light does that one room that plants can be in get?
What kind of light?
Paula, let's pretend we're talking about you.
How much light does he get?
Yeah, I'm wondering, is there a window? What direction
there
is
a window
face?
But
how
I can't usually open the shade, and I'll tell you why. Because my neighbors are building this big fucking McMansion practically on top of my bathroom. And
Which bathroom?
The one in my bedroom.
Oh,
and the workers have like fucking telescopes and shit aimed right at... And I think when they move in, they're going to keep that.
Well, it's a.
So I have to keep the shade closed.
Knowing Paula's house, I think that's either probably a south facing bathroom window.
Okay,
thank
you,
Magellan.
And it doesn't get a lot of light.
Okay, so the light is the biggest factor.
It's the biggest factor. Is the light?
Plants need light the most.
What about the light that I turn on in the bathroom?
So most indoor household light bulbs don't have the full spectrum of light that plants need.
Oh.
And so a regular incandescent bulb or even a lot of LED bulbs don't have everything that a plant needs. Plants need a lot of the red-blue spectrum of light, and most of our household bulbs don't have that. So you could put a grow light in there, and they make some fancy grow lights now that don't look like you're, growing weed in your bathroom.
That's my first question, yeah.
If you don't have good light from a window, or if you have a window that needs to be shaded, in your case, I would probably maybe switch to a shade that lets light through but doesn't let people see in, like an opaque white shade.
Right.
Like one of those opaque white shades.
So I can just do like shadow puppets for the workers next door.
So frustrating. They're over there with their goddamn jackhammers.
Yeah, I don't think... Okay, and they're building a two-story house, so that's going to be even less light for that window,
right? They're building the witch's castle. This has been going on for 3.5 years now.
Should Paula just not have plants in her house?
No, you need plants, don't you?
Yes, I would say you need plants.
Yeah.
Well, you have to.
What are the,
what are the benefits?
Yeah, you know.
What are the benefits of having plants?
There's a lot of benefits to having plants. Some which have been scientifically proven. Others which are kind of more dubious interpretation of science. But anecdotally, I certainly hear from hundreds of people, you know, a month probably, about the benefit that plants bring to their lives. There have been studies that have shown that working with plants versus, say, working with a computer can actually improve your, like, mental state.
Okay, but how do you print out at the end?
That's a low bar, though, because fucking anything.
It's true.
As opposed to working with a computer will improve your mental state. Hydrochloric acid. Anything.
Really? Hydrochloric acid?
Yeah, would be better to work with than a computer.
I'm not sure I agree with that one, but,
it's absolutely true. Let
all these opinions bloom.
All right, so light is very important.
Light is very important. The next thing is water, but light is the most important. If you don't have light for plants, light is essentially food for plants, and so if you don't have natural light or something that replicates natural light, like a grow light, you're essentially starving them to death.
So if plants could talk, then it would go into my bathroom and say, "You want to flip that shade? I'm starving."
Yeah, exactly.
Is that correct?
Yeah, okay, yeah. 100%.
Yeah, just kick back.
Are there plants that Paula's cats won't touch that she could maybe have out in the rest of the house?
You know,
no.
It depends on the cat. Cats can be a little crazy.
Plants that Paula's 13 cats wouldn't go near?
No, because they're not necessarily eating the plant, although they do that too. But they would knock it over and knock the dirt out. They're really incorrigible.
Is there anywhere they can't get to? Shelves that are higher up?
Or
could you hang it from the ceiling? Yeah, because there's a lot of plants that can be hung.
There's a therapy where they do that.
There's not a therapy. We should explain to people. During the break, Captain Crinkle, apropos of something kind of unrelated, I think we were talking about keel hauling, was asking us about that therapy that she read about where they hang you off a hook.
She said they hang
people, they hang you from a hook.
They hang people upside down from a hook. Isn't
upside
that what
down?
She did? Yeah, didn't you say?
Upside down from a hook.
Captain Crinkle is nodding, saying that's true. Yeah. She said she heard it on NPR.
Right.
My guess is it wasn't really tuned in.
Yeah, I think she tuned into like one of those Saw movies.
Yeah, that's what I think too. I could have a hanging plant. I hadn't thought about that.
Like a fern or something, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can hang a fern. I wouldn't recommend a fern.
Why? Why? What's wrong with ferns?
Ferns can be a little difficult, especially
little inimical.
In the LA climate, we basically live in a desert. Ferns are used to a more lush, humid environment, it can be a little tricky. But there's other plants that are much easier that can be hung.
There's only a couple of things that you do. You water them, you give them light. So what's the trick?
So humidity, and you have to think about the fact that most things that we grow as houseplants are actually tropical plants. Some of them are from more temperate climates, like ferns are usually from temperate rainforests. But essentially, if you think about that environment, if you go to the rainforest in the Pacific Northwest, for instance, can you provide that climate in your home? Most people can't.
No.
And so
Paula can't.
And so there are environmental factors that come into play other than just light and water.
So you want to make some recommendations?
It didn't even occur to me that these were tropical plants.
Yeah, so a lot of the things that we think of as average house plants are tropical plants. So if you, let's say you go to Hawaii.
Like Obama?
Obama?
Isn't he from Hawaii?
Yes.
Yes, but he's not a plant. I just don't know how that even happened right there.
Well,
he's a human being.
I know, but I really love him, and I'd love to have him growing in my house.
Well, it's touching. I'm going to leave that
They're tricky, though. Obamas are tricky.
They need a lot of light.
Yeah, get a lot of light, and you got to water them. All right. So, okay, sorry, I digress. I have a problem today. Sometimes I digress.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Now, all right. So What were we talking about?
We're talking about tropical plants.
About tropical plants. Yeah.
And you were going to make a recommendation for the kind of plant that Paula should have in her house. So, I'm guessing a plastic fern.
No, I actually brought you both a plant today.
Oh, that was
what?
So nice of you.
From my shop. And the plant I chose is a plant called a Sansevieria, which is often known as a snake plant. That's a common name for it. Sansevieria is the fancy botanical Latin name.
A snake plant.
Wow. Snake plant.
Okay.
And this plant is always one of the first plants I go to for beginners with plants or for people who've struggled to keep plants happy or alive.
Did you see that movie Sansevieria on Planes?
No, that's
Samuel L. Jackson.
That was Snakes on a Plane.
Oh,
yeah.
My mistake. Wow.
I've had enough of these motherfucking Sansevierias on this motherfucking plane.
Is that what he says? I never saw it. I just heard of it.
You guys can fight
over. How come
over
she gets the one with the nice
little...
Well,
you guys can fight.
We don't even have to fight over it. I just get it.
Oh, but that's the nicer one.
It's not the nicer one.
It's so nice. It's got the nice outline.
God.
Like it's a colored in book.
It's colored in...
I've got... Mine looks like lettuce.
Doesn't look like lettuce.
Adam, I'll bring you another one.
No, this one's fine. This one's fine. I love it. I don't want to make it feel bad. Am I making it feel bad? Can it hear me?
Yeah. I wouldn't let him in
your shop. Some people swear about talking to plants.
There are studies that show that plants can sense things and that they can sense sound.
There's studies that show that?
It's not the same as a human hearing sound. It's just we like to sort of anthropomorphize them.
Yeah, I think we do. I don't. Although, I got to tell you, I was in therapy with a fern at one point.
You were?
Yeah.
Did they hang you from a hook?
I just talked to it. That's
really?
All. Yeah. And it charged me a lot of money.
Seems to be the story of your life.
Yeah. It was tropical.
Tropical fun.
It was able to head right back to Hawaii.
There you go. So what are we supposed to do with this Sansevieria? So it looks like you included some directions here.
Yeah. So all the plants that come from our shop come with care instructions specific to that plant. So that's also, I think, something that helps with success in caring for plants is knowing what the plant is and how to care for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the instance of your orchid, you didn't know what to do to keep it happy. So,
no, I had no idea.
You know, it was
Kevin didn't give it to me with instructions.
Right, because he didn't buy it from me.
That was the problem. That was exactly
Kevin Nealon, you've got to be shopping with Ms. Hurst over here, or you're just going to give the wrong plant away.
So, yeah, there are instructions, which I find always helps people have a better success rate is just knowing what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, this plant is one that is particularly resilient. It will tolerate much lower light than most plants do.
Oh, good, because many of my windows are like northern exposure, so it's low light.
Yeah, so this is perfect. It would probably even survive in that bathroom that
this
has
is
the
really
window
very,
shade closed.
Are all of your directions so personal? Because this says... Put in bathroom near noisy neighbor construction house.
I don't think it says that.
It does.
Yeah,
it says it's jackhammer tolerant.
Mine says don't hate me because Paula got the more attractive plant. So that's a very sensitive thing to do. Now I feel bad for saying that.
Yeah, exactly. He's, you know, let's not stickle. It's a vocabulary word, didn't I? It means argue over something unimportant. Adam tends to stickle.
I
can't reply to that because that would be stickling. Well played, Bounce Dunk. Yeah. Well played.
Yeah. Okay. Adam, answer the phone.
I don't
answer
want to.
Phone.
We're in the middle of an interview.
Just answer the
phone.
For
God's sake.
Answer the phone.
Hello. Welcome to the 100th caller contest.
Yeah. Hey, am I the 100th caller, Adam?
Oh, great. No, you're the caller number 29.
Yeah, it's me, Mike Boom Boom Butterfit. I'm really enjoying the interview with the plant lady.
How are you even hearing that?
I'm listening. I'm just listening, and I'm really enjoying it. And I would like to get a plant.
You'd like to get a plant?
I would. I'd like to get a plant. And I gotta say, you're totally right, Adam. Paula got the better, that fucking bitch you work with.
Hey,
the better
Mike.
Plant.
Mike, I have talked to you about
she
talking about my partner, Paula Pounce.
She left you with lettuce. She took the good plant.
Yeah, but like, Mike.
Hers is probably gonna grow fruit or something.
I don't think
yours is gonna grow more lettuce.
No, I don't think that either of these are going to grow fruit.
You're gonna
fruit,
have
Mike.
A garden salad. She's gonna have. Fruit. She's gonna have a smoothie. You're gonna have a garden salad.
What
man.
Are you trying to do, Mike?
I just called to pack you up, man. I got your back. That's what I want to say.
Okay.
Hey, listen, I gotta go, Adam. I'll call you later. We'll hang out after the game. Okay, take care. Bye.
We won't. Okay, Danae, I'm sorry about that interruption.
It's okay.
Oh, my God. He gets a lot of calls. He's very, very popular, Danae.
I don't want
Clearly.
To be popular in that way.
All All right, so you give directions. It says bright to medium indirect light. What does that mean, indirect light?
So direct sun and indirect light are sort of the two primary kinds of light we can get indoors. And direct sun is when the sun itself is visible. So if the plant had eyes,
the sun opens the window and just climbs in.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the spots on the carpet where your cats sleep.
Yes.
Oh.
Exactly. That's a great. That's a
well,
great
I can't put it there.
No. So you need one. But this plant thrives on indirect light.
Yeah, so, right. This, to me,
oh, so what's indirect light?
Most houseplants want indirect light, which is where there's light coming in and the sky is visible, but the sun isn't shining directly on the plant.
Uh-huh. I see.
And there are different strengths of that kind of light. So close to a window is usually brighter, further away is darker or uh-huh. lower. And then depending on the direction your window faces and what hemisphere you live in, southern exposures for us in the northern hemisphere get indirect light almost all day long as the sun sort of travels across the sky because the sun is a little bit further south of where we are. And then northern exposures are usually the dimmer exposure. And uh-huh. then east and west get direct sun in either the morning or the evening.
Jesus, this plant stuff's hard.
It's not that hard.
I'm not that good with directions.
You're
I can't
not.
Do left and right. I can't even do west and east unless I'm staring at the ocean.
You just
really?
Yeah.
You just and have it, to look out the window.
What do you mean you have to look out
to
the window?
To know if you can see the sun or not.
Oh, okay. But that doesn't tell you west, east.
I usually know which direction is which.
Why?
I don't know. Like, that way's north. Our listeners can't.
That is freakish.
Out
of this pointed, like any of us fucking know where we are.
Well, of course
we're in
Ray Horseman Studios, North Hollywood.
You just sort of pointed over, and we don't know where that is.
Back me up. Ray Horseman, is that north? He's looking
oh,
it up.
Oh, he's looking it
he's
up.
He's actually looking it up.
Ray Horseman is looking up.
Don't stickle with me, Ray Horseman. I know where north is.
North.
Oh, for God's sakes. Like okay. All right. So you just look out the window anyways,
so
you
can look out the window you'll get some clues from the sun as to what kind of light you're getting. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's confirmed weird. That was north.
Yeah. Compass head. Yeah. Adam Compass head Felber.
Yeah. I pointed there. That was north.
Jeez,
yes.
That is just weird.
It's not weird. I know where we are in a map, so I know which direction is north.
All right, there's something wrong with him.
All right, let's get back to today.
I have a thing like that. Like, if I fall down, I always know it.
We're very similar in that way,
yeah,
Paula Poundstone.
Yeah, exactly. It's a sense.
All right, in Alice in Wonderland, Alice asks the tiger lily how it got the flowers to speak. Lewis Carroll writes, "The tiger lily says, put your hand down and feel the ground, then you'll know why." Alice did so. "It's very hard," she said, "but I don't see what that has to do with it." "In most gardens," the tiger lily said, "they make the beds too soft so that the flowers are always asleep." Stay tuned to discover other tricks of houseplant horticulture. The Cat of the Week is Mr. Noodle from Pinyon Hills, California. And we're back. Danae, NPR was reporting a couple weeks ago that young people are really into houseplants now. What's going on with that?
So I think people in general are more into houseplants now.
But
young people are certainly a big percentage of that.
Did they drop off for a while? The houseplant interest died
yes,
down for a while?
I think so. Minimalism really, I think, killed the like indoor plant game for a
was
while.
Was there a movement of minimalism?
There was. You know, if you think back to sort of the starker interiors of the late 90s where everything right. is like stainless steel and hard marble surfaces and lots of white.
Yes.
And then now people are kind of turning back towards, you know, kind
towards
of more
the cluttered environments that maybe Mrs. Culpepper favors in her home.
Indeed. I'm sure Mrs. Culpepper has many plants.
My home is lush with plants. Thank you, Danae, for asking. Lush with plants. It covers up the absence of Captain Culpepper.
Oh, is he on vacation?
He's not on vacation, Adam Felber.
Oh, so on assignment then?
No, that is not so. He's not on assignment. He's not among the living.
Oh. So sorry to bring that up again on the second time in the show. Might be a new record.
You seem to have forgotten that Kevin Culpepper passed in a tragic...
Tyrotoxism-related incident?
That is correct. It was poisoned by a dairy product called cheese.
It was the Havarti that had him, is
oh,
what
no,
I understand.
Oh, no, it was not the Havarti. It was the goat of the god of Adam Felber. Yeah, so... all right, so people that were minimalist. I missed the trend in indoor design, I guess. I didn't even know I was supposed to have been minimalist.
Yeah, you missed it.
Yeah, I guess I did.
Yeah.
To me, I don't really decorate. I just, you know, everything is about making, putting stuff where the cats won't pee on it. That's the whole
How is cat design. Pee for most plants? Is there a plant that thrives on it?
You know, I'm not sure about that one.
Yeah, I wouldn't
Probably
think so.
Probably not so much.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
do you think that for a lot of young people, they're going to be stuck with a planet that is pretty much on its way out? Do you think that they're, you know, we've so fucked up the planet that now they're just making like terrariums in their homes so they never have to leave again?
Honestly, I don't know if it's that extreme, but I do think that's a piece of it. It's
yeah.
that we
Do you ask them when they come in and they seem depressed?
Not about that exactly. Don't really want to add to the depression. Yeah. But I do think we've lost touch a bit with the earth. We've lost touch with kind of the natural world.
And with pottery.
True.
Yeah. We've lost touch with pottery. That's not like us.
No, it really isn't. Let me ask you this. Do houseplants provide any benefit, like oxygen-wise? Can you have enough houseplants to make a difference at all in terms of like the oxygen levels in your home?
You can, but the studies that talk about that, that looked at that, really seem to indicate you need an extreme amount of plants, really.
Right. More than this snake plant. The snake plant.
Yes. Yeah. Now, all plants are doing some amount of taking in carbon dioxide and releasing oxygen. That's part of the process of photosynthesis,
except
which is what
at
plants
night.
Are doing. And then at night,
that's when they sneak up and steal your breath like a cat, right?
But again,
they don't do that at night.
No, at night it's sort of the process can reverse.
Really?
Yeah.
Stealing your breath
so,
as you sleep.
Really?
Enjoy your plant, Paula Poundstone.
And Sansevierias actually are one of the few, the plants I gave you, are one of the few indoor plants that actually release oxygen at night instead of in the daytime. So often people say they're good for
Paula is
for
currently
a
huffing her plant. Is there any utility to this?
I'm just breathing right off my snake plant,
say
man.
That would be dubious.
God,
science.
I feel good.
It seems to be dying. You've touched it exactly once. And we shouldn't water it, it says here, until the soil is dry.
Dry all the way.
Which it am not right now.
No.
This feels a little bit
moist. What do you
mean
dry all the way?
Dry all the way to the bottom of the
How
pot.
How am I supposed to tell that without fucking up the roots?
There's a couple easy ways. You can stick your finger in there. The roots are pretty resilient. So, you know, a finger or a moisture meter is a tool that you can use to check and see how moist the soil is. I also find with plants that are in plastic... Sorry.
Plants are in plastic
plants
pots,
in
like Paula Poundstone's plant in a plastic pot.
Very good.
Which will be proximal to Paula Poundstone's pussy pillows.
I hope to please it.
That over time, the pot will start to feel a lot lighter. And so once it feels super light, then you'll know it needs water. And then you kind of learn to compare when it's freshly watered versus when it needs water. Yeah. And you'll get the hang of just
You can tell
by
when it needs water
it.
Because late at night it'll go, water me.
Yeah, if that's what you're waiting for, that might be what's
You can
part
also
of your...
tell when it needs repotted because late at night you'll hear, get me the fuck out of here.
Yeah, if you're hearing that, that's a bad sign.
Is that a bad sign? Yeah. Yeah, that's a bad
It's not
sign.
The plant.
Now, we have a question from Captain Crinkle, and rather than bring her up to the mic, which is always a disaster, we're going to ask it on her behalf. So Bonnie Burns, her daughter bought a basil plant.
Okay.
She went to a party and somebody told her, you know what? All you got to do with these basil plants is stick them in water. They don't need soil.
Well, was it a basil plant from the grocery store? Like the kind that come in the like tiny little package and they do have soil around them. But yeah.
Boy, so Danae is dripping with judgment right now.
Yeah, I know.
I wish you could see her face.
She's withering.
She so clearly does not approve of these grocery store plants.
Yes.
No shade to the grocery store basil. They're just often not really grown in a way that's meant to be a plant that lives forever with you. They're mostly meant to live for a little while in a glass of water on your windowsill or in the refrigerator
but
until you've
that
used
describe all
the all leaves.
Of us. Honestly, we're just meant to live a little while in a glass of water on the windowsill.
Honestly,
and then we're here no more.
I've already been here much longer than I should have been.
So they don't need dirt? They could just stay in water?
I mean, they usually come in a little bit of some kind of potting medium, like either it's dirt or it's like peat moss or something. But that's just to sort of keep that root system intact and alive while they're being grown and then transported to the grocery store.
Uh-huh.
A lot of times they're not meant to live forever or, you know, for very long. And you would eventually need to move it to more soil.
Oh, so not just in a glass of water, like she was told by a friend at a party.
Yeah, I mean, you can grow things hydroponically, but it's,
grow them
it's
what?
More...
Hydroponically.
I remember that from Lost in Space. They had the hydroponic garden. Do you remember that, Danae?
No.
Did you ever see Lost in Space?
Yes. I don't remember a hydroponic
they
garden.
They did. They had the hydroponic garden. June had it on the table.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's like, I think I vaguely seeing that.
It was Maureen. Like, that was the name of the mother.
I'm like, which one is June?
Yeah, how did this come around to Lost in Space? Oh,
I may be a tiny bit
eventually.
Young for Lost in Space.
Yeah, you're a tiny bit young for Lost in Space? Is that what you just said?
She might have said that. Yeah, Paula, I want you to ratchet back whatever your reaction is about to be. Because this was about to turn ugly.
Yeah, no. So you're a little bit too young for Lost in Space.
There are people who are too young for a show that aired 50 years ago.
No, you know what? Fuck all of you. That's my feeling right now. Yeah, you know what? It's on DVD. My kids know it. Yeah.
I'm not fully up to speed. I've seen it. I'm just not fully up to speed on it.
You know
it.
What?
But
don't try to suck up to me now. Now pretending like you know Lost.
Have you
space
ever been treated like this by a host on a show that you've been on?
Not to my recent recollection.
Yeah. Well, just stick around.
But I brought you a plant.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That was so nice of you. So the hydroponic garden.
So you can grow things hydroponically, which means growing them in water as opposed to soil. And
this week's word is hydroponically. It means growing things in water as opposed to soil.
All right. So now you know that one. You got that one locked down, huh, Paula?
As opposed to soil.
All right.
Okay. So you can grow things hydroponically.
You can. But not everything does as well hydroponically, right. And you do have to kind of treat them a little differently if you're
you
growing them hydroponically.
You mean every plant can be grown just in water?
Not every plant, but a lot of plants can be.
Wow.
I know a lot of people.
That's weird.
You know, when I was in college and afterward, had like hydroponic setups to grow their weed.
Right, exactly. So weed is the one most people know. A lot of the tomatoes that we buy at the grocery store are also grown hydroponically.
Oh.
That's why they're not very good usually.
Exactly. Because hydroponics is a little trickier to get all the nutrients that the plants need because you have to add the nutrients to the water.
Oh.
So keeping a plant in water for a long period of time is possible, but over time the plant will start to struggle as it runs out of available nutrients.
Uh-huh. It never occurred to me to make a bathtub toy out of a plant.
You shouldn't.
No, it doesn't sound like a good idea at all. Huh. Captain Crinkle wanted to know if playing music helps a plant grow.
So there was a lot of talk in the 70s about music and plants.
Yeah,
and,
right. That's when Mozart for yes. it, and there were studies.
No, but a lot of
music.
Bands were trying to get like a extra industry of performing, not just concerts, but
exactly.
performing to people's plants.
Yeah.
Stevie Wonder did release an album called The Secret Life of Plants.
I forgot he did. Was
that
Stevie Wonder? No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
I don't think it was.
No, it was. Well, have there been studies done as to what kind of music they enjoy?
Yes, and the study that most people cited in the 70s that showed that plants responded to music was later debunked. So there isn't a lot of strong evidence that says it matters, like, if you play music or what kind. Though there have been studies that show that plants can at least recognize sound, or they can tell the difference between two different sounds, or they can react to sound.
Okay.
But it's not the same as them hearing sound.
Okay, that makes
Now,
sense.
A lot of people anecdotally think that talking to their plants helps their plant. And
yeah.
so
no,
I
it
think
helps them.
If it's helping your plant, great. But really, I think what it's doing is it's giving you a more of a connection to your plant. And the more connected you are, the more likely you are to give it what it needs and take care of it and notice it when it's struggling and take care, change the care if it's not doing well.
Yeah.
So that's where I think that kind of comes to play.
Yeah. I think now that I have a plant, I think I'll probably talk to it a lot.
I don't think you will.
No, I think I will because I talk to fucking everything.
That's true.
I talk to my toothbrush.
I do believe
everything.
That.
Everything. Yeah, so
how about that orchid? Were you talking to that while it was in the house?
Yeah. I used to say, you don't feel good, do you? You don't look good.
Blame Neelan.
Yeah. You'd say yeah. Boy, I would say to it, I feel how you look. hey, look, there's two things that are very important that I have to say now. One is, I stand corrected, Ray Horseman just looked up, and Stevie Wonder did do an album called The Secret Life of Plants.
Okay.
Adam, answer the phone.
Wait, what?
Answer the phone.
No.
Adam, answer the phone.
No, just in my moment
ahead.
Of triumph, I've got to answer the phone. I know where this
ahead.
Is going.
Answer the phone.
Hello, welcome to
Hey, Adam, it's me, Mike Bonovan.
Hi, Mike.
Man, I knew you were right.
about that. I knew fucking Stevie Wonder. Of course, man. He wrote the album, songs for plants.
No, he wrote Secret Life of Plants.
Yeah, that's the one he wrote.
You're probably
confusing
that with
it,
Songs
man.
In the Key of Life.
No, Plants in the Key of Life.
No, there was no plants
in the Key of Life.
No, that's Mike, what are you talking
cabbage
about?
Cabbage in the I knew you were right, man. You're right all the time. That's why I love you, Adam. That's why. Am I the 100th caller?
You're not. You're the 30th caller, though.
Shit.
So that's
I'm going back. All right, talk to you later. Bye.
Okay. Wow.
Boy, he just loves you. He loves you.
Yeah.
You know, you might want to get him a plant or something.
You know, whenever you're annoyed at me, somehow Mike or somebody calls.
I wasn't annoyed at you. You were right. The Secret Life.
Annoyed that I was right.
Not at all.
Okay.
And I do want to say one other thing. What if you get a plant that likes music that isn't the kind you like?
Leave it on during the day when you're not home.
Yeah, exactly.
And then listen to the music you like at night.
Every time I come home, the orchid's got a Sassa Brandy.
What was that?
Sassa Brandy.
What's a Sassa Brandy?
A Sassa Brandy. You're a fine girl.
Oh, that was Brandy.
Yeah.
It sounded like you were saying Sassa Brandy.
I wasn't. Okay. I say Brandy.
Oh, I say Brandy.
Yeah.
Okay. Why did we take this detour?
Because I was just thinking about that. You know, I just say what I think about.
That is absolutely an accurate description of yourself, Paula
Yeah,
Poundstone.
Exactly. Yeah. Boy, this plant is going to be so sick of me.
All right. Well, thank you, Tanae, for planting these valuable seeds of information. And now we're going to take that information and run it through the old Pounce-tonator. Paula?
House band Omar Leyva, can I have a little background music for what I know about houseplants?
Something a little planty.
I feel my roots growing strong. It's true, young people are into houseplants. Many of them don't know anything about Lost in Space. Maybe they've seen it once or twice, but they don't remember the hydroponic garden that Maureen, the mother, and Judy, the oldest daughter, grew on a table outside the spaceship, the Jupiter 2.
Moving on.
Young people are enjoying a shift in the trend of interior design, moving away from minimalism to maximalism, where they collect plants. They also enjoy caring for something to watch it grow and thrive, which fills in the hole within them caused by not watching Lost in Space.
House Plants for All, How to Fill Any Home with Happy Plants, comes out in April. It's written by the founder of the Los Angeles-based plant boutique and plant styling studio, Folia Collective. It's Danae Hurst.
Hurst. Not Horst.
Not Horst. Spelled Horst. Pronounced Hurst. Thank you so much for being on our show, Danae. All right. Coming up, Captain Crinkle helps us open up the listener mailbag. God help us all. That's coming up right after this. According to climate scientists, we have 9 years and 45 weeks until the Earth begins to become uninhabitable. We're back. Paula, so we've been struggling through this show without our producer, Tony Anita Hall.
Did you see the picture she just posted on social networking?
No, what on social networking? What did she post on social networking, Paula?
She's just on the social networking. She's floating in the water off the side of the ship, apparently in the conga line. Things got a little violent,
Somebody whipped her off the ship?
And she got whipped off the ship.
Wow. You follow her on more of the social media than I guess I do.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's on Insta.
It's a well-deserved vacation, even if
Insta
it's not
Google.
Going.
It's on Insta Google.
Yeah. It's a well-deserved vacation, but it has kind of crippled us here.
It has.
Yeah.
Everything has been hard to do without Tony Anita Hall. What with the 100th caller contest and everything?
It's
just been a lot of work. Adam, answer the phone.
What, really?
Yeah, answer the phone.
I didn't hear it ringing. Are you sure that you don't want to get this one, Paula?
No, you get it. You get it.
Why me? All right, hello. Welcome to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone 100th Caller Contest.
Adam, is this you?
Oh, yeah, it's Mac. You're Mac and Cheese. How are you?
Am I the 100th caller?
You are not, Mac. I think you're number 31.
Oh.
It's Mac from Wisconsin, everybody.
God darn it. So close.
close. Oh, hey there, Adam. It's me, Mac and Cheese. I'm taking a minute out from shoveling my walkway to call because I'm hoping to get a snowblower from Roger Federer's.
Okay, I'm almost certain that the store Federer on our corner does not have snowblowers.
Oh, no. How do you... Are you hand shoveling your walkway?
We... There doesn't snow here in Southern California, Mac. Not at all.
Oh, my golly. You have cheese, though, don't you?
We do have cheese. You don't need snow to make cheese,
Mac. My heart stopped there for a minute. What kind of godforsaken land is that, California?
I'm guessing your heart stops rather frequently given the amount of cheese you intake, Mac.
It's good to... It insulates the heart, Adam, the cheese.
Does it?
Yeah, Adam, do you walk with the Lord?
I don't, Mac.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think you ask me that all the time, and my answer is going to remain no.
Yeah, well, you gotta walk with the Lord.
I don't.
And you don't shovel your walkway.
No, because there's no snow.
Oh, jeez.
My what way?
Whack.
My walkway.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mean your my walkway.
Your whackway.
My whackway?
Yeah.
No, yeah. No. All right, Mac. It's an endearing accent you have. It really is.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, well, I'm going to have to call back because I want to get that snowblower from Roger Federer's.
Again, there isn't one, and it's not Roger Federer.
Hope to hang out with you after the game, Adam.
Not going to happen, Mac. Okay, now, so, Paula, we're moving on to this mailbag thing.
Oh, boy.
Because, you know, every couple of weeks, we reach into our, let's get a theme song. Mailbag!
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. And we hear from our listeners, but since Tony isn't here... We've made the dubious decision to entrust Captain Crinkle, your manager, Bonnie Burns, to sort the emails and bring them to us. And so I'd like to bring her to the microphone now. Bonnie, welcome.
That's your signature Crinkle.
Yeah, it's a signature Crinkle.
Captain
I want to
Crinkle.
Point out, before you even get started, how are you, Bonnie?
How am I?
Yeah.
I'm good.
Now I want
She's looking at you like it was a trick question.
Yeah, I know. It's what we say to guests, Bonnie.
Yeah.
I do want to point out, though, that when you stepped up to the microphone moments ago, you didn't just bring the piece of paper that has the mail on it, but you also brought it in a bubble wrap envelope. Why would you do that? We're recording audio.
Because, just to heighten the suspense, my finale for the mailbag is in this crinkly container.
You've purposely put it in a crinkly container.
No, it came
no,
that way.
It was mailed to
it's
her.
It's something that nobody sent.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
okay,
nobody
I'm
sent
closing.
Stuff.
This is my big closer.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So nobody's, if you're mailing Bonnie stuff, just don't put it in bubble wrap.
Yeah. Well, a lot of stuff does get sent in bubble wrap.
I know,
I don't think that's Captain Crinkle's fault necessarily.
I won't blame it on her. Now, Bonnie, what do you have for us from the mailbag?
Okay, here's what I have. So, a nobody managed to edit the Wikipedia page on Gouda cheese.
I saw that. That was fantastic.
Was
you want
really
to read
great.
Us what happened?
I think Ray Horseman is pointing you towards the microphone.
Oh,
you
I'm
need
not
to
close
get closer
the mic.
To
okay,
the
all right.
microphone.
Okay, so they managed
Christ
to
sakes.
Get this on the...
Tyler Burke just took over for Captain Crinkle dropping shit and making noise.
Dropped a barbell or something.
So they managed to get this on the Wikipedia page. And it said, it was Gouda that caused the death of Captain Culpepper due to... tyrotoxism after consuming the cheese at his retirement party.
And that's on Wikipedia now.
Right. Oh, so it was his retirement party.
Well, yeah, that's why I brought it up.
How could I have forgotten?
Well, it wasn't necessary. Not everything on Wikipedia is true.
Well,
Mrs.
no,
Culpepper.
You know, with a trauma like that, with a difficult, one gets TPS.
TPS? What's TPS?
Oh, the trauma.
Do you mean PTS?
Yes.
Post-traumatic stress
yes,
syndrome.
Yes, that's correct. And that can cause a lapse in memory.
Like remembering things like PTS.
Precisely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Bonnie. And you know what? There's a footnote on the Wikipedia page because, you know, when you post something on Wikipedia, if you want it to stay, you have to attach a footnote. And the footnote attaches to our podcast. Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone.
Oh.
Now, see, I didn't know that because I went on the Wikipedia page and I couldn't find... the thing that the person wrote. So,
what do you mean you couldn't find the thing that
the
person wrote?
It's right there
wrote.
On the Gouda cheese.
I couldn't see it. I looked.
What do you mean you couldn't see the thing that the
removed.
Person wrote?
I don't know.
Okay.
I couldn't find it.
Was
so,
it for you anything like getting my Butterfinger song up on iTunes? Did it kind of bring you back to that place?
I scanned the whole page.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't find this sentence.
When you say scan, you mean
yeah.
you were looking at it with your eyes, but you weren't really processing?
I was scanning.
That's how okay. Bonnie reads every email written to her.
Okay,
yes.
So here's what I did.
I might not have read it literally, is usually what she says.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, and I checked a couple of footnotes. I didn't see it. Okay, so here's what I did.
I think you're still not close. I'm looking at Ray Horseman's face. Oh, you're still not.
They had a bunch of listeners.
No, see, what you're, okay, your relationship with the microphone is that you're seeing this. It as something in your way.
Yeah.
And so you, and so you keep trying to move around it.
Oh, well, what can
you
want to
move, well, I'll tell you what we, the professionals, do, which is you lean towards it and speak into it. And in this way, it will amplify your voice.
Yeah, okay, in all fairness, this is probably Bonnie's first job in the entertainment field, right?
Yeah, she's fairly new to all this.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long have you been in entertainment, Bonnie?
28, 9 years.
Oh, no. You'll learn that microphone thing sooner or later.
Okay, all right. So what I did was I searched Gouda on Wikipedia.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And what came up was Emperor Gouda. So
you never actually made it onto the Gouda cheese page.
No, I did.
For all we know, it's still up.
Okay, so there was an Emperor Gouda.
Okay.
He was the 91st emperor, and he was named after the 9th century Emperor Uda, and then that translates literally as later, which is the da, so he's sometimes called the later Emperor Uda. Does that make any sense?
No.
Very little. And,
why
and
did
I
you
would,
look at this?
I have to say that this is making me miss Tony Anita Hall so much right now.
Did you see the picture that she just posted on social media?
No, what happened?
Oh, she's, right now she's underwater.
I would take an underwater and even drowned Tony Anita Hall over what's going
better.
On right
wait,
over here.
I still don't understand. What were you? I thought you were reading listener mail.
No, yeah, where? How did we get? How do we get to fucking Emperor
now
Gouda?
Now you're giving me the history
Gouda.
Of Wu and Da
on Wikipedia.
You looked up Gouda
on Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
Okay.
Why? You're supposed to be reading us the listener mail.
No, because the guy we posted, the guy supposedly got the thing about Captain Culpepper on the Wikipedia page.
Right. And it gets,
I went on
those
there,
things get taken down frequently when they're
right,
disinformation.
And I couldn't find it. And so I thought,
and
okay.
That should be the end of the story.
No.
That really, so that should be it. And then we go on to the next piece of mail. We don't care about
I'll
you researching emperors.
They have. It showed other things.
Yeah,
the disambiguation.
How do you get shit done during your day?
No, it showed other things for Gouda.
You
so
know,
I thought, oh, there was Emperor Gouda. So I thought, I'll bring in Emperor Gouda.
No, you know what's weird?
Because
why?
Like,
no, why do that? Just read mail.
No,
you had one job. Read some listener
they
mail.
They probably don't know about Emperor Gouda, which is kind of interesting.
Not really.
What? No,
it was
it
to Mrs. Gouda. She was fascinated.
To the Empress Gouda.
Yeah, Empress Gouda was fascinated by Emperor Gouda. Let me just say something to you. Like, a lot of times people talk about how, like, when they're reading stuff on a screen, they tend to, you know, they click on one thing and they click on another and they get, and I've
they
never
disappear down a rabbit hole.
That's what they always say. And I've never understood that. That's never made any sense to me. And yet now I see
that America's like,
case, like
you.
A case study of it in front of me. You were going to read the listener mail. I know. Wait, say this came in the post, right? Say it was.
I can't believe. Like,
say it was
right out of the gate, she fails to read listener mail. It's like, that's the job. Let me do the theme
so
song again.
Easy. It seems so easy. Sure. We said
mailbag plus random shit that Bonnie gets off the internet.
No, we said Tony's not here. How about if Bonnie reads the listener mail?
That's it seems a simple so idea.
And Bonnie said, I can do that. And we all believed.
We did.
But here's, okay, say it was the mailman and he delivered to you an envelope, right? And you read what's inside. Would you then, if it was a person and they said, oh, I posted a thing about Gouda, would you then, I don't understand, would you then go research? Would you get your encyclopedia out
no,
and look
but I
up?
I found this other thing that I thought was interesting.
But that's not what you were asked to do.
It's quite simple that you had one job and it really didn't do it yet. Let's see if we can actually move forward.
Oh,
do you have any other mail?
God.
Can I just say one thing?
I don't know.
No.
Normally I'm
you
on your
a half
side.
Dozen things
no.
Already.
I just don't think I explained well. The guy's name was Emperor Uda, so Go Uda.
Yeah, we got
he
that.
He was the next emperor
Go
in line.
Two
so
things.
Emperor
two things.
Gouda.
One, we understood that the first time, and two,
right,
we don't give
I'll
a
go
fuck.
To the
I'll,
next
I'll
one.
Be honest.
Okay.
I didn't understand the first time.
I did.
But I didn't see the importance of it in my life. So okay, I never backed up. And now, she's going to go to the next thing.
Is it mail from a listener?
Yeah.
It's a OODA thing. It's a Go OODA thing.
The first thing was mail from a listener.
Well, tangentially. Go.
Well, it was.
Go OODA.
Okay. Roger Federer. This is about Roger Federer, okay?
Yeah. Read it, we'll find out what it's about.
Yeah, you don't have to set it up. Just read it.
Okay. And nobody sent in an article.
Still not reading.
About Roger Federer. What part do you want me to read?
The part.
Whatever you chose to read. This is a simple job. A listener writes
hold
in.
On. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Did you know?
Is that what they said?
No,
did you know?
Give me that to you. Give me a second. Okay.
Traditionally, what you do is this is what you do. You say, this person sent this.
And then you
and
read what they sent. Yeah.
I've got it.
Okay.
Okay. This is as bad as I thought it was going to be.
It happens to have been sent from an emperor.
Emperor Gouda writes.
Okay. And nobody sent in an article about Roger Federer being worried that fans only like him for his outstanding tennis record and not his personality. He complained to the press that he would rather hear the cheers of thousands after telling one of his signature jokes. Federer added that in order to bring his personality to the forefront.
Bonnie, what are we doing here?
I'm giving
She's
it to
She's reading the letter. Okay.
He plans on torching the field at this year's Wimbledon while wearing an eclectic, slightly different shade of white.
Wow, that is fascinating.
Right.
And yet he doesn't mention his appliance store.
No, he didn't. And so I went there.
So you looked up the emperor again?
No, I found one of his jokes because I thought you'd like to hear one of his jokes.
I can't believe that this is going this way.
No, don't you want to hear
one
of
his jokes? The simple mission was to read us something that a listener...
It was an article. They sent an article.
What listener sent it in?
Oh, they didn't say that.
You didn't get the name. Like, the one thing we do in Mailbag is engage our listeners by naming them, Bonnie.
I think it was Roger Federer himself.
Okay.
I think it came from Roger Federer.
Yes, let's tell me a Roger Federer joke.
I thought it was a
good
illustration.
I already heard one earlier today because I was over at Roger Federer's. And Tom Hanks was cracking up. By the way, you haven't even mentioned that I'm wearing the Peplos.
It looks fine, Paula.
Thank you. I don't think it's going to fool Tom Hanks, though.
No, it's not.
All right, go ahead. What are you reading? You're reading.
I looked up a Roger Federer joke.
So a listener, an anonymous listener, Bonnie didn't get the name, sent an article about Roger Federer that Bonnie read to us, which is not really listener mail.
Now
she's done additional research.
Right. Yeah.
This is so far from the mission statement of the mailbag segment.
It was in the mail.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Adam's becoming inimical again.
Yeah.
Yeah?
He is. That's true. It's so odious.
This is my problem.
Odios.
Ocios.
But
I don't think that's the right word.
I think odious is probably better.
Ocios is the word.
All right.
Read us a Federer joke.
Don't truckle. He had an upcoming match with...
Don't stickle.
Tenny Sandgren.
Tenny Samgood?
Sandgren. T-E-N-N-Y-S. Tennies.
Tennis.
I think it's tennis spelt wrong.
So here's what he said. Tennis wasn't going to be a baseball player, not with that name. I'm looking forward to playing against him. I never played against tennis. I played a lot of tennis in my life, but never against tennis.
Wow.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And he's upset that people don't like how he plays.
Yeah, that people concentrate on his playing and not his jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, keep playing tennis, Roger.
I think he should be really proud of the fact that he plays tennis well, and then he has I'll tell you, that appliance store was packed tonight when I was over
there. I'll say this, and I've never said this before in the... we just got a note from Tyler. Bonnie?
Yes, that's true.
Bonnie, guess what? That article that was sent in... Now, is an Onion article.
Well, I was going to close with that.
Oh, you were going to say?
You were going to close with the fact that besides the point bullshit you gave us is doubly bullshit because it's fake?
The joke is real, but I was going to say I didn't know if the article was real because it was in the Onion.
Yeah, that means it's not
real. You didn't
real.
Know if it was real because it was in the Onion?
Yeah.
Did you used to receive Mad Magazine?
Yeah, but you can never tell which of those are nonfiction in Mad Magazine.
Did you used to get Highlights magazine? Did you think someone really had a fish in their hair?
I was and somebody had toes made of timber?
Oh, my God. I can't believe you knew it was in from Onion Magazine.
I was going to say that, but... You know, I
okay,
never
Bonnie,
got to it.
I want to put that one behind us because that was
okay. It was sent in to the mailbox.
Yeah, but you had the choice to just to bring us things that listeners said to us. Read a clipping from the Onion and then treat it as though it's true.
This was my choice.
Okay. Yes. All right. Okay. I've got another one, Bonnie.
Yeah.
Kevin Crinkle, you are on a roll. You are on a winning streak.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay.
This is from nobody, Caleb Shattuck.
Well, we got a name.
That's Caleb Shattuck. Well, it's probably made up.
Okay. It's, hi there. I know this is a long shot, but I was wondering if anyone in your group, Tony, Bonnie, Paula, or Adam, would be on my podcast where I ask them about any paranormal stories they have. I would be so honored, but understand if not. Anyway, keep on doing what you're doing. I look forward to Tuesdays now.
Huh.
Well, that's nice to hear.
That's a nice request.
It's right. Very
do you
nice
have any paranormal stories, Paula?
I don't, but that won't stop Captain Crinkle from booking me on that show.
It sure won't.
Yeah. Boy, she's going to...
Does it pay nothing?
I didn't look into it because I have
a story.
Of course
it pays nothing.
You have a story?
Well, I do, but
you
maybe
have a paranormal story?
I do.
It could explain so much.
Wait a minute. So you brought in this letter from listener... As a way that you
as
could...
As a runway for her paranormal,
your paranormal story. Is that right? Is that what you did, Bonnie Burns?
Is
that what you fucking did, Bonnie?
She has sat in front of her computer for years waiting for such an invitation.
Yeah. She's like, what might our listeners want to share with us? Oh, they might want to ask a question that I can then answer with a long and meandering story that goes nowhere.
No, do you have a paranormal story?
I do, but I want to hear yours, Bonnie.
I want to hear yours.
No. No, please. You prepared a paranormal story.
No,
I would have
I
to
didn't.
Think.
I'm debating about which one I should tell.
Which one? So you
she
have more
than
one.
She has more than one paranormal story. Did you see the picture that Tony just posted?
What was that?
She's been abducted by aliens.
That's a good paranormal story. It's and way succinct compared to what's about to unfold. Bonnie, please, either one of your paranormal
here's
stories.
Here's just a short one.
Okay.
Maybe there is a God.
Yeah. Don't say that yet.
Okay, so after my mom died.
It's a comedy show, Bonnie.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Okay, so a bunch of her grandchildren and great-grandchildren were sitting around talking about like how much they liked her and everything.
Okay.
There was a picture like on a shelf.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And while they were talking, the picture just fell over.
A picture of what?
Her.
Oh.
Wow.
That's it?
Yeah.
Well, thank the Lord. There is one. Yeah. Okay. That's, you know, what's that listener's name?
Caleb.
Caleb, if you want to hear that story on your show, but you want to hear it six times longer, we can hire out Bonnie to you. Do you want to tell your other one? I love this. You have another succinct?
You really want another one?
Yeah.
Just no, you want to tell it. Yeah. And that's why I want you to stew in this. Come on.
No,
tell
I feel like I'm wading into like
just after her dad
muddy
died.
Water.
They were all sitting around the living room talking about how much they liked her dad.
And then a mom's picture screamed, he wasn't that great!
No, I think I should... Move on.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you have failed the mission again, and made a listener mail think all about you.
Oh,
no. I don't think that's failing. No, she's auditioning.
Yeah.
He listed all of our names and asked if any of us wanted to come on
and
tell a story. That's a great story. You could tell that.
You should.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I ask you something?
What?
Did someone maybe throw a couch cushion at the picture?
No.
Was there an earthquake?
They say no.
Was someone vacuuming and the cord got wrapped around on the shelf?
You weren't there.
I said, when did anything happen? They went, nope, just...
Oh, so you weren't there.
You weren't even there?
No.
So this isn't even your paranormal story. It's some ancestral Burns stupid story. Paula can't breathe. I love that. You brought a paranormal story that wasn't yours.
She borrowed a paranormal story.
To break it out on our podcast, which is about anything other than the paranormal.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Oh, wow. That is...
Okay.
Do you have another one?
I'm wrapping it up.
You know what? I think that was also in The Onion.
Okay. Nobody Dan Garcia wrote that he recently returned from a vacation in Italy. With Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone and mine, I collected soap from each hotel stay, and I'd like to donate for future contests. Please let me know where to send them in a box, not an envelope. Thank you, Dan Garcia.
Wow.
That's
boy.
Nice.
Boy,
that?
Dan's bucking for a job on the show.
Absolutely. That's
yeah,
efficient.
You know, Tony Anita Hall made a mistake being away this week.
Yeah, and that was only her other, her second mistake. Her first mistake, as we remember, was sending hotel soap in an envelope.
Yeah, yeah. Dan,
which then arrived
Dan thought to do it in a box.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, so, Tony, if you're out there, you're fired.
No, she's out there. She is...
in space.
She is abducted by aliens. I see right. nothing wrong with hiring Dan.
All right, Dan. Dan Garcia, welcome to the family.
Okay. Now, I think one important question, Dan. How do you look at a Peplos?
So, Bonnie, in closing, what do you have?
Okay, this is my last thing.
Oh,
so
boy.
This was sent by Nobody K. Gilbert. And I'm going to open this up.
In a crinkly package.
I can authenticate. She's opening the crinkly package.
She made you a beret for French Trump.
Oh, that's so kind.
How great is that?
Oh, that's great.
And the card said.
And a little bit of Trump hair underneath it.
Oh, yeah, that is beautiful.
Paula, I love French Trump, or is that French Trump?
Nice. Keep going. However, you can do this, Bonnie.
However, it seems wrong that a hand puppet, especially a French hand puppet,
boy,
should be without the proper accoutrements. So here is a wig and a beret for French Trump. Now he can be a complete flaming asshole in style. You're nobody, Kay Gilbert.
Wow,
Kay Gilbert.
Great. Let me ask you something,
so much.
Bonnie. How long were you abroad? Because that accent... phenomenal. Just
you know,
phenomenal.
Just from being around you.
If I hadn't been
right
looking,
off the top of
if
my
I hadn't
head.
Been looking right at you. Tony, come home.
Please come back, Tony. Please come back. Oh, my God.
Adam Felbert is a French Trump.
Oh, look, it's everybody's least favorite hand puppet, French Trump.
Useful idiot to VP. Useful idiot to VP. Over.
Oh, is that code talk, French Trump?
Not you. Pants. You cardboard cutout, I am hoping Vladimir Putin is listening in. VP!
Oh, you're calling for the VP, Mike Pence.
That's correct. That is correct, Adam Felbert. I am purging all twins from the White House.
All twins?
They are sneaky. You never know which one you are talking to.
Oh, you're talking about the Vindman firing.
Yeah, all twins. I don't care what twins they are. They're
I think
all gone.
They were the only ones in the White House.
Have you seen The Parent Trap, Adam Felbert?
The movie The Parent Trap?
That we?
I believe I have.
It is a thriller suspense movie where Brian Keith could not tell Haley Mills from her tween.
Oh, okay. Yes, that's true. Yes, there were twins
They're
that were identical.
They're very tricky. If I found out that Ivanka is a twin, she is dead to moi.
What? Well, she's not a twin. You would know that by now.
If I found out that she was, is what I'm saying, Adam Felbert.
So you would disown your daughter if she was a twin?
Ah, French Trump would disown her. I do not like twins. I'm purging the White House of twins. And the Republicans are letting me do whatever I want because they are afraid I will... tweet about them.
Would you tweet about them?
Republicans, tweet, tweet. Yes, I would.
You would tweet about
tweet,
anybody who crossed
tweet.
You.
That's yeah. right, Adam Felbert. I will tweet if I have to.
Would you tweet about me?
I would tweet about you,
if
Adam
I crossed
Felbert.
The line, yeah.
And if you were a twin, I would banish you from the White House.
Really? Well, I'm not a twin, nor do I have any desire to work in your White House.
I didn't do it. I never did it. All right, I did it, but it was a good thing to do.
All right.
I am French Trump.
Yes, thank you, French Trump. Now, Matt, that's it. It's a very attractive beret you now have.
Wow, thank you.
All right, well, French Trump, everybody. Now, Bonnie, you're done now, right?
I think I am.
Excellent. That is the end of this edition of Mailbag.
Whew.
Thank you, Bonnie. Oh, boy. All right, Paula.
She is good. She just...
good at what?
I'll tell you. She just makes a microphone her own.
She really does own the mic.
Yeah.
All right. Now, if you want to reach out for us for some advice about anything, email us at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. From now on, we promise that Tony Anita Hull will curate our mail and not Bonnie Burns. And speaking of hotel soap, Paula, you're going to be on the road. Where are you going to be performing?
You know, I hate promoting myself. It's the one part of my job I really dislike.
Well, I prefer it to the mailbag segment right now, so why don't you go ahead and do it anyway?
All right, I'll be in Atlanta, Georgia at the Buckhead Theater on March 27th. I'm in
Boston, Massachusetts at the Wilbur Theater on April 17th, and I'm in New York City at Town Hall on April 30th.
New York! Anything else you hate to promote?
I do. I hate to promote my Butterfinger single, Not My Butterfinger, and the ringtone.
The ringtone.
And the ringtone.
Not just the single, but also the ringtone.
Oh, that particularly irks me.
What?
Promoting that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I bet it does.
My single, Not My Butterfinger, and the ringtone are now available for download on my new website.
PaulaPoundstone.com?
Yeah, yeah. PaulaPoundstone.com. Now, you may notice that my new website looks remarkably like my old website.
Because as of this recording...
That's your lion eyes, ladies and gentlemen.
As of this recording, the brand new PaulaPoundstone.com
The Poundstone Pussy Pillows available?
With the Poundstone Pussy Pillows and the song and all that isn't up yet.
It's up.
But we're guaranteed that it will be up. The brand new one's not up.
It's no. Up. It's not, you read that in The Onion. It's not up.
It's not up, Bonnie. Any case. And the Poundstone Pussy Pillows.
The Poundstone Pussy Pillows, which are a approximately 3-inch by 4-inch pillow stuffed with fresh catnip, and there's a cat joke on one side, and on the other side, I am happy to autograph it to your cat.
And there's a grommet, too.
There is a grommet, so that you can...
What?
So the well...
I think Bonnie has fried both of our brains.
There's a grommet so you can put a string through it and pull it, but Ray Horseman just put up on the big computer screen here in the studio my website
and it's,
which looks remarkably Bonnie Burns like my
It almost
old
is like Bonnie is
website.
Lying to us in real time.
No, I'm starting to think that Bonnie and the website designer are going to run away to Tony Anita Hull's cruise ship together.
With because, all the money from the new website.
Yeah, every few weeks I pay more money for the website because he's working so hard on it. Yeah. And for months now I've been being told the new one's up. The new
it's
one's up.
It's up now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
but,
not really
you know,
bad.
I've been having a lot of vision trouble and I think they're taking advantage of that.
Yeah, I think they definitely are.
It is the new one. Oh, it's just that your eyes don't work very well.
Anyway,
that looks remarkably like my old website.
And what the old website does have, by the way, so even if the new one isn't up, and it's guaranteed to be up by the time you hear this.
Oh, but
even
it's
if the new
be.
One isn't up, you can find a complete list of Paula's upcoming performances at PaulaPoundstone.com. Fun fact, the world's most expensive coin sold for $7.6 million, and yet was still only able to purchase 15 minutes on a parking meter. And we're back. Hey, Paula, is your brain as fried as mine is right now?
Oh, my God.
I feel like Bonnie damaged my brain. like the rest of that segment was a mess, and I can't even tell you that I'm back to 100% yet.
It was out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
It was.
I'm just rattled.
Well, no, because at the time I was placed in a metal box and dropped off a cliff
right.
was easier than what we just went through.
I bet it's easier to stay on topic.
Yeah.
Because your only topic is I'm in a metal box.
Yeah, your whole topic is,
Yeah, exactly. And there's nobody there to say, you know, I Googled metal box, and it turns out that there's a very interesting history to boxes. Did you know they were spherical back in ancient Egypt? They didn't call them boxes either. I called them carry spheres.
Adam, answer the phone.
Answer the phone?
Answer the phone.
Paula, we are in the home stretch of this podcast.
Is it my fault that the 100th caller? I told you it was going to be a popular contest.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't listen
it's
to me.
It's not popular with
it
me.
It is.
Hello, welcome to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
Hello, am I the 100th caller?
You're not. You're caller number 31. Is this Winnie Feynman?
It is Winnie. It is I, Adam. It is Winnie Rose Feynman. I'm not
Hi,
the
Winnie.
100th caller.
No, you're caller number 31.
Oh, Jesus. I just have to win, Adam. It's important for you, too.
Why is it important for me?
I have booked us to perform Love Letters at the Herschel Bernardi Community Theater in Huntington, New York.
The Herschel Bernardi Community Theater in
and
Huntington,
New York? And we need the time hanging out after the game to rehearse.
No. Well, first, let's...
I booked it, Adam. I booked it.
Do you live near there?
Yes.
That's interesting, because I actually, I grew up on Long Island, not far from Huntington.
That's one of the first personal things you've ever told me, Adam.
Well, it's not really personal. I'm sharing it with all of our audience.
Well, no, but you're telling me over the phone. I want to thank you so much for that.
Well, in any case, I have no intention of performing the play Love Letters with you at any theater, let alone one in Huntington.
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
I'm not going
to
do it.
Adam, another reason that we do need to get together, and I will call back because I would like to be the 100th caller.
No, you don't have to,
but
really.
But it's also because I have made you some banana jam that I really want to give to you.
Banana jam?
Yes, I know that bananas are your favorite fruit, and I wanted to make...
Yes, I said that bananas are my favorite fruit.
Yes, and so it was very hard to make a banana jam.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Well, I looked it up on the internet, and...
How did you make it, Winnie?
With bananas.
Yeah, and then what did you do?
I put it in a...
Did you just squish a bunch of bananas into a jam jar?
No, not at all. You have to go through a big process. There's a strainer involved, and...
Winnie, I don't want it.
Adam...
Yeah.
Your rejections are becoming very special to me.
Oh, good Lord. Really?
Yes. I've recorded a lot of them.
Why are they special to you? Because I am, in fact, rejecting you.
I know. And I want to tell you that it's a kind of a pain that I carry deep in my heart.
And, oh, Jesus Christ.
It means a lot to me, and I want to thank you so much for taking my call, and I would really like you to have this banana jam.
I'm not going
to
take the banana jam.
I want to encourage all the nobodies to come to the Herschel Bernardi Theater on July 9th when Adam Felber and I will perform Love Letters. And I want to thank you so much, Adam.
If anybody's still listening at this point, and I frankly don't know why you would be, I will not be there on July 9th.
It's a big theater, Adam, and people are going to be very disappointed if you're not there.
They're going to have to live with disappointment.
The smell of banana jam on your breath.
There won't be any banana jam on my... Winnie, let's just call it a night right now.
All right, I gotta have to call back anyways, because, you know, the time when we hang out after the game is a very important time for us to rehearse.
And it is not going to happen in any way, shape, or form.
We have to do the staging, Adam. We have to do the staging.
I don't think my wife would approve.
You're going to sit over there.
No.
And I'm going to sit over here.
No.
That's very important for the staging.
No, it's not
going to... And the lights.
And it's not going to happen, Winnie. My wife wouldn't approve of it. And I love my wife a lot.
Huh.
So I don't think I can do it.
I don't know. Well, you know, I may have to replace you with Tom Hanks.
Replace who with Tom Hanks?
You.
Me?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Do you have the phone number for Roger Federer? Because I know he was over there tonight.
Wait, can I just go now?
Yeah, okay. I guess it's time to go. It was good talking to you, Adam. Thank you very much for adding another rejection to.
I was caught in a trap.
I also made you this hat with bric-a-brac. It's a paper hat, and it's shaped like a cone and has bric-a-brac around the edges of it and blue dingle balls, and I would like you to have that as well.
I don't want that. I would never wear a paper hat in a cone shape with bric-a-brac and hanging balls.
Not hanging balls, Adam. Dingle balls.
What's a dingle ball?
They're balls that hang. All right, I have to go.
Jesus Christ, Paula.
Adam.
Yes?
Adam. Once again, we're coming to the end of a show that has been so fun for us to make. Except for the part that just beat the shit out of us. And we're hoping that our listeners have enjoyed it too.
Yes.
The streets of Podcastville, however, are littered with podcasts that died because they didn't have enough listeners.
Yes, or they just overstayed their welcome.
Yeah. I can't imagine that. The best way to spread the word about our podcast is by you, the listeners, telling others that you have a good time listening to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast. Therefore, most weeks I have created a simple sample dialogue to guide listeners in that conversation. But Adam, you have often felt that this technique may not be reaching enough people.
I question its efficiency.
And I want you to know I hear you. So this week, I have created a simple sample monologue to be used to address a crowd of potential new listeners. For example, if you can possibly grab the microphone to the PA system at your local grocery store, try this.
Oh, here we go. This is interesting.
Good afternoon, shoppers. This week, Brown's Market is practically giving away Kellogg's Pop-Tarts. We've got to. They have so many flavors. They nearly take up a whole aisle now. I mean, everybody loves the brown sugar and cinnamon frosted, and the strawberry or blueberry aren't bad in a pinch, but they've gotten carried away. There's s'mores-flavored Pop-Tarts. Jeez, real s'mores don't even taste that good. It's just fun to melt shit with fire.
Some flavors I never even heard of before. What's Heimanberry and who put sprinkles on it?
What?
Well, they're on sale now, so get them out of here. Also, that kind of toilet paper with the bears that are always talking about how it doesn't stick to their butts? Go ahead, take it. What kind of endorsement is that? Bears don't even use toilet paper. I know what you're thinking.
They're
not real bears. They're animated. Well, guess what? Animated bears don't even poop. So load up on that. I think you can get at least half off. Shit, the grocery store manager is coming. Okay, I gotta tell you this quick. I listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, and I love it. It's funny, mostly, but even when it isn't, you learn something. Adam Felber is on every show, and Scott Francisca says it's a weekly clusterfuck for the soul. Don't buy the Enquirer. It's part of the police state.
Okay, simple sample monologue.
Yeah. Yeah, this way here we reach a bigger, and I'm encouraging the listeners, when they go to a grocery store, grab that PA and...
And say this.
Say this.
Exactly this?
Yeah, well, this is a good idea.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because it feels like you've probably alienated a lot of potential listeners and possibly gotten taken off the microphone before you even get to the Paula Poundstone part.
No, I said the Paula Poundstone part.
Yeah, but you might not get to if you were a listener grabbing a microphone in a supermarket.
No, you have to sound like, you know... good afternoon, shoppers.
Oh, I
you
get
have
it.
To sound like the person. In
yeah,
the beginning.
But still, once you get to like Heimanberry, what's that?
This is what I'm asking.
It's not a flavor of Pop Tart. It is.
It's a flavor of Pop Tart.
Heimanberry with sprinkles.
Yes.
You know, I'm not even going to look that up, Paula. I'm just going to really? Let that go in a vaguely nauseated fashion.
Bonnie's going to look it up.
Bonnie's already Captain looking it up. Bonnie's on her phone right there.
Captain Crinkle is looking it up, and she's going to present us. A letter from a listener about it next week.
Yeah, one that she writes. You know what? You know what really bugs me is she looks happy over there. She's got that look on her face like job well done. Gave her dropped a bomb on our show and she's like, yeah, top that, Tony Anita Hall. And
boy,
that's what bugs me the most.
She certainly has set the bar high.
Bonnie's now complaining that Tony
she's,
had all the mail.
She's blaming it on Tony.
Wow.
Did you see the...
She just threw somebody on a boat under a bus.
Did you see the picture Tony Anita Hall just posted
no,
on social networking? She's wrestling an octopus. It's got like one of its legs wrapped around her neck, and she's still having a better time.
Than we are.
She's still in less danger than we are.
I really feel like something has been done to my soul. Nobody's, remember, our email address is nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com.
And you can find me and Adam on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can find my remarkably soft tri-polyblend t-shirt with a self-portrait on the left breast and a memorable quote on the back at paulapoundstone.com.
Tri-poly, it's the future. That's our show, everybody. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam Felber. Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezebnik, and please come back, Tony Anita Hull. Technical direction by Ray Horseman and mixing by Michael Hoagie. Special thanks to tonight's house band, Omar Leyva! And thanks to our guest, Danae Hurst.
Woo!
Transcription services for our show provided by TranscribeMe. For your special Paula Poundstone discount, use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at TranscribeMe.com. And on a sad note, we want to wish the best to our security muscle for the show, Tyler Burke. He's been with us for a long time, and he is moving on to greener pastures. So to Tyler, the Studio City behemoth Burke, thank you so much.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me? We're not done, are we?
I think we are. Tyler, we're going to miss you, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not going to be the same. So we're not going to have anybody walk the guests back and forth?
I guess we could ask Roger Federer.
They're just going to be out there fending for themselves on Miranda Street. Huh. Doesn't seem safe.
Scarpins Audio, a podcast network.